Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Get Jashed. Today I have with me Christina Clemente. Christina is a life coach, a master Reiki practitioner, a soul flow facilitator, and is podcast host of Mrs. Motivation podcast. But today I'm really excited to have Christina join me and join us here because it's a really important conversation around body images and how we feel about our bodies, especially as women, and what it means, quote unquote, means to be a woman or to look like a woman. And Christina's story kind of captivated me in that way and made me start to think about that in different ways as well. So thank you so much for joining me, for starters.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored to share my story with you and hopefully bring some awareness to like these kinds of issues that women have.
Yeah, and I think it's such an important conversation as well. So I'm really grateful that you are here having it with me. But I guess to start is, where do you have like a memory of where body image started to play a role in your psyche and in how you sort of started to perceive yourself in that way?
Well, if I were to think about it like that, the first thing I guess was I grew up in, you know, my mom has a lot of sisters and, you know, they all look a certain way. They're very like full bodied, beautiful women. And my mom is also very gorgeous, but she's like quite thin and very low body fat. And so I saw her body and although she looked great, she didn't like quite fill out her bra very much, like in comparison to her sisters. So when she was like breastfeeding my sister, that's actually like the first thing that I thought was like, oh, my mom doesn't have very large breasts. I wonder if I won't ever have very large breasts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, that's actually like the first thought, which I haven't remembered in quite some time, but after that, it was just like coming into my body as a young woman and having that thought like, oh shit, I did end up in the itty bitty titty committee and this is where I'm going to go. And, you know, me coming to terms with that on my own while also getting like kind of picked on for not developing and things like that. So those are like my first kind of memories on just like already not feeling enough, like as a young girl, not just like in my own self, but hearing it from other people.
Yeah, it's the double whammy also. Like it's like you can feel one way about yourself but people might be saying different, but in this instance it's like and breast size, especially as a like as a teenager, is such a focal point for
it's like yeah, it's like a class because you're just growing, they're just coming in, so it's yeah. Like a big, and everyone's seeing it and it's like, you know, boys are like little boys at that time and they're like yeah. Oh, big ones and there's small ones and you know, some come in fifth grade, some come in like eighth or ninth, and like you just don't know when you're going to develop as a girl. That's like also part of it. It's like that anxiety of like when you're going to be pretty and what is that going to look like and all of those things, but
and also that everyone's going to comment on them because, you know, they haven't formed enough like emotional intelligence yet.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, as adults, I'm sure as a woman, you've run into men who still are cognitively like still saying things like or yep. Looking and staring and you're like, what's this about? Like, I'm here. You know?
Yeah. Hi, I'm up here and whole personality. Hi.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was going to say it sounds like it's tough, but I also relate to just that experience, like overall of not with my mum in that way, but just in the sense of like wondering and sitting there going, well, what's it going to turn out like, especially in those formative years? Like, what's it going to turn out like? What's that development going to look like, you know? And right. and not even knowing what your own development is going to be until it is. And then the value that we place on that and what it means, like you have said, like what it means to be a woman and how we yeah. place value on our body shape and our breast size as determining that womanhood. And it's right. just so, it's very confusing for how we then communicate with ourselves and perceive our own value as well.
I mean, it's true. I mean, when you think about before like Tinder or things mm. like that, just like what were guys into? And they'd be like TNA, like tits or ass. So all right, so if you don't have one of those things, you're like, okay, well, hope I find an ass guy, you know. But at the same time, like, why are we not talking about my face, my personality, my values, my morals? Like, what? So as a woman, it's like you get broken down into these like two physical categories, and you start to think about that, you know, mm. as a woman, like when, you know, when you're dating or when you're younger, and it like kind of breaks you a little bit if you allow it to. I mean, if you don't have people, you know, my best friend is actually, she's in the itty bitty titty committee with me and has been, well, she was in the beginning and is still now. And she had positive people around her that told her that she was beautiful, that didn't encourage her to change her body. And it's not that I had people that were encouraging me to change my body, but they weren't saying like, well, that's not a good idea. They were like, if you want to do it, go ahead. You know? So
yeah,
I started, I guess, like all of those like little things, specifically, which is really funny. I'll mention it now and then I'll mention it later. There was like one kid I had a crush on when I was younger, and he would tell me that I was flat-chested and I wasn't pretty. And I think because he knew that I had like a crush on him or something, these were the things that he was saying, because he was like, well, I got to tell her I don't like her because I'm not into this body type, which made me feel so terrible, right? And so it stuck with me, and it made me, unfortunately, put this value on myself, like I didn't have a womanly shape, or I wasn't going to be loved, or sex wasn't going to be as good, or intimacy wasn't going to be as beautiful because I didn't have like a certain look. Yeah. And you know, you open Cosmo, you open 16 magazine, you open like back in the day, like all these like teen bop magazines, you saw all these beautiful women, you still do on reality TV shows. It's like, who's getting the most Botox? Who's getting the fat transfers? Who's getting this? So it's like, it's quite easy, I think, as a woman to get lost in how we can change ourselves to quote unquote like ourselves more. And as a young girl, I got lost in that.
Yeah. And you're right. Like there's so much messaging out there. And as you were talking, it's also like, it reminded me of moments where it's like, yeah, like we can be like TNA or why isn't about my face, but then or not if my face is breaking out, or not if like, you know, my lips do something weird, and why isn't about my personality, but not if I'm not perfect, and not if I don't say the right thing. Like it's all of these, we can always, there's this conditioning that to always find something that isn't good enough that we need to fix. Yeah. Yeah.
It's maybe never ending, and it's really damaging, you know, like have that mindset. And, you know, in my experience, it was damaging to my health. It was damaging to my finances, and it, you know, it was a lot. When I was young, I decided like, you know, this little guy got to me and I was like, he's right. I need to get breast implants. And so I made it my goal. And even like throughout college, I had this like little circular jar. They were like a trend back in the day. And they would say different things like, I love desserts, or like vacation fund. Mine was the boob job fund. And so I would put money in it, and then I would have like my college friends come over, and I'm like, if I bought, you know, things to drink, I'd be like, put it in the boob job fund. Yeah. I need to fund this thing. And so like, I still still had those thoughts, even though I had found men to quote unquote love me for what I was then, I would still bring it up to them. And I'm like, you know, eventually, like, I would love to get breast implants. I'm like, great idea. That's awesome. Yeah. No one was like, settle down. Yeah. That's good. So I really like stuck with it. And I told my parents about it, and I had wanted to do it like pretty early on. And they were like, you have to be out of college. Like, you have to be, you have to make that decision. You have to be like an adult.
Yeah. Cause you're still developing anyway. Right. Like,
yeah. And you know, and my mind is still developing and our emotions are still developing. And, you know, looking back now, I obviously think like, I was a kid. Like, why was I, even after college, in charge of that decision? Because I mean, it really was huge. But right after college, that's what I did. I got breast implants. And I remember, I also, it's a crazy story, but this is like sometimes how desperate people can be. And I really do want to emphasize that is, I had needed to take my tonsils out. I was like always getting sick, and I didn't take it as a sign like, hey, don't get breast implants, you're always getting sick. I was like, okay, well, my tonsils need to come out and I don't want to have two surgeries in 1 year, because that was like against the advice of doctors. So I actually got my tonsils removed the same day that I got my implants put in. So I had two in 1 day. Because I was like at this point of like desperation to get that done. And I knew at this time I had gotten out of college, but I had already landed a job as a full-time teacher. I knew I was going to have to be working at a certain amount of time. And so I pressured myself, and it was probably the most at the time painful thing that I had ever done ever.
Yeah.
It was, to put myself through that torture. The person that I was dating at the time literally had to do unspeakable things to take care of me. I felt like, you know, I went back to like being a child, and I put myself in such a vulnerable place because I had such a low self-esteem, and I felt like getting a boob job was like slapping a band-aid on this low self-esteem, lack of self-confidence issue. And I didn't have anyone like, I mean, obviously my dad was telling me like how beautiful I was, like, you're my daughter and you don't have to do this. And
thanks, dad.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, but everyone else was pretty pumped for me. Like, honestly, see them when they're done, like, oh my God, this is going to be. And so like, also like, what a violation too. Of that. Like, looking back, I was pumped and I was like, yes, everyone gets to see it. I'm so excited. I didn't care. Like, I was really desperate for like that kind of like love and attention. It was like terrible.
And validation almost.
Yes. Like, here I am. Like, I am the new and improved 2.0 Christina, and I fill out everything and I'm going to look amazing. And I just didn't even realize how amazing I looked prior. And it, like, now thinking about it, it really sucked. So I had gotten the implants, and, you know, that was at least 2 to 4 weeks of recovery. And shortly after, two other people that are very close to me also got breast implants. And so like, it almost like set like a ripple effect around people around me, like, oh my God, you know. And like, to this day, I still feel like a little bit of remorse around that, just because it was almost like, now as a life coach and a healer, I put out like all this loving energy, and that's just not the message that I would be spreading today, is that like, you need to put a foreign object in your body to look a certain way, feel a certain way, and be accepted by the people around you as whole. You know, it's just like, not what I
like. And at least if someone really, like, I imagine if, you know, you had a client who came up to you and said, yeah, like, I really want this, you'd at least ask the check-in question of, okay, what's your why? Like, what's the reasoning? Just a simple question.
And I should have really checked in that way, but I was like, yeah, good for you. Like, I just was like, And
but you wouldn't have known because you were in that space.
I was, and you know, and everyone on TV and on these movies, and it was just such a normalized thing. And it was honestly, the way that I got them was like, the doctor saw, you know, my age, obviously we talked about everything. I like filled packets of rice and measured how much I wanted. And I did all of that. And the only thing I was told was like, okay, they might need to come out in 8 to 10 years. They're saline, they're safe. That's it. Are you sure you don't want them bigger? That was the one.
Oh my God.
Like, you don't want to have to go back in, find the thing, fill it up, you know? And then I remember waking up that day and crying. This is how sad this is. I cried that they weren't big enough. They were like up to my chin. I was like down, like honestly, for a woman my size. And I was like, she was right. Not big enough. And it's just like such a sad thought to think about now, because, you know, I know that I'm enough. I could have like a weird third boob and still be enough.
Yeah. But like,
that's just what I know now. But.
Well, it's when your reasoning going in is something that will never be enough no matter what you do, right? Like, so that's understandable that as you come out of that procedure, the reasoning is still going to be there. And that was going to be my next question, actually, is how you felt aside from the pain, not physically, but how you felt once they were in and once that was all there and happened. Like, what were the feelings around it with your new assets?
I loved having a larger chest. Like, I was excited. I was thrilled, despite the pain and the uncomfortability of just like settling into like a new body. I was really excited. I wanted to share it with everyone. I mean, everyone in my life knew about it. And like I said, it was like a ripple effect in some weird way. And then slowly, I think it was like a year or so into everything, like a year and a few months, I started getting sick. But I never, ever, until like 2 years ago, would have put together that it was my breast implants.
Yeah.
So it took me like 11 or so years to realize that the cause of like all of the things that had been happening to me over a span of time was because of them. So I felt like really great. I felt sexy. And I think that was the wrong way to feel. Looking back on that aspect of it all, because it really, like, now that I'm back in my true body, it didn't make me look any different. In fact, I think I looked like kind of weird. They looked like quite unnatural. If I like go back, I think we're born with the body that we're supposed to be in. So despite how hot I thought I looked, I just don't think it was like, and you know, other people thought it was attractive. It just wasn't attractive. They were done well. It just wasn't attractive because it wasn't me. And I think, like, quite honestly, you know, you can tell like when something isn't real. And so, and then that's also like a point, like I remember, and I love this person to death, but like, you know, when they see something fake on your chest, now you're getting just as much attention as you were before. And they're like, oh, so you do you fake breasts, you know? And so one person asked me to show them. And I was like, no, you can't. And you know what their response was, why did you buy a Cadillac if you're going to keep it in the garage? So think about that.
Wow.
and so like, now it brings like this other unwanted attention to you. So it's, you know, like I said, like I thought I looked great. I like felt good, like all this, it was just feeding this like ego and vanity side of me that just like was not pretty.
Yeah.
I think. And so like now looking back at that, I'm like, okay, well, I needed like adjustments to be beautiful. Like it's like, you know, makeup and things are like one thing. I think that they accentuate who you are as a woman. Mm-hmm. I don't think a lot of men will argue that, but whatever, that's mansplaining, not with women. But I just think that like when you start to, you know, pick at yourself, you know, it just, it could just keep on going.
Yeah. So, like, where's the end point? Like, again, yeah.
Yeah. And then, so I started to, like I said, like a year and a half in, I started to get sick. Mm-hmm. And I ended up with like this weird rash all over my body. I had no idea what was happening to me. And then I started to get like a lot of pain in my, like in my joints. I started getting sensitivity to light, sensitivity to sound. I was tired. I was depressed. I was anxious. Shortly after that, my back went out for the first time from lifting my dog. Like my body felt like it was falling apart. And I was young.
You're 20s.
Yeah, I was in my early 20s. So it just was like a really weird feeling. And I was going to the doctors, and a lot of these doctors were not covered by my health insurance because like they could not figure out what was wrong. So I started to pay a lot of money, and I was getting diagnosed with like MS, lupus. Some doctor told me I had chlamydia, and I was like, no, that's not chlamydia. Another doctor that I had like this whole argument with told me that I had syphilis. And I was like, well, how would I contract syphilis? Because I've been with the same partner for so long. And they're like, well, syphilis is airborne. That is a literal statement from a doctor that I've heard. The amount of circles that I've been spun in the early years of all of this was insane. And finally they decided you have Lyme's disease. And so I became this chronic Lyme's disease patient. And so I would have to get IVs. I would have to do all these like vitamin flushes. I was going to doctors. The people around me, my friends, didn't believe me whatsoever. They thought that I was like mentally ill, that I was contriving all of these illnesses in my body and making them up, and just, but I was really sick. Like even my job was like, how are you getting this sick? Because I was a teacher at this time. And so I was always taking out and, you know, taking off of work. And I worked with students with severe special needs as a speech and language therapist for 10 years. And, you know, as wonderful as they are, there was always some sort of sickness or illness rolling through there. So my immune system being already low, it was just getting me and getting me and getting me. And so they just kept telling me like, you have Lyme, you know, you have this, you have that. And my anxiety was terrible. My depression was like so low. I was just in such a spot. And then I would like go through these peaks where I would cleanse and then feel better. Like I would eliminate things from my diet and like I would find some sort of safe haven. And it wasn't until 2018, late 2018, early 2019, where I went to a friend. She's actually my eyebrow specialist. And she was talking to me about breast implants. And she told me her story. And she had swollen lymph nodes in her armpits due to her breast implants. And she was very scared because they were the recalled textured implants. So she started getting me thinking about what she was going through. And I was like, what? And she's like, you didn't know breast implants can kill you. And I was like, what are you talking about? And it's been a conversation. Honestly, it had been a conversation in my house because my implants had been a certain age. As soon as they hit 8, I had a talk with my now husband saying like, at some point, this is going to have to be, you know, taken out or something's going to have to happen. And you know, the doctor kept saying, as long as they don't hurt you, they're fine. You can keep them in there forever. But I felt this weird dimpling in one of them. I knew that they were shifting. I had pain under my left breast. Like I knew things were happening in my body, but the plastic surgeons told me I was fine. They are fine. They are intact. They don't need to be taken out. You're good. So, you know, it's a lot of lies. And if, you know, I started looking into all the things that she had been talking about. And then I found this group called Breast Implant Illness and Healing by Nicole. And I found it through Tracy. And she said, just do me a favor and look through the group. That's all you have to do. You don't have to take out your implants today. Just research on what breast implant illness was. Cause I'd never heard about this whatsoever. I was like, what are you talking about? And I started looking at the symptoms and their fatigue and their sensitivity and their depression, their anxiety, their chronic pain, their neurological disturbances, their immune system, you know, issues. And I'm like, shit, like this is, this could be something. But, you know, going back to what we were talking about before, you know, there comes a point where you have to teeter totter between, okay, now I know that this is a possibility and this could be the answer to why I've been so sick. And holy shit, can I go back to being in my old body?
Yeah.
How do I work through, because when you go into these groups, a lot of these women are amazing, beautiful warrior women. And they share their experience and they share their pictures and they share what they've gone through. And some of them, you know, we're talking about cancer survivors who get complete mastectomies where they just have the surgical line across their chest, or women like me who have gotten these big implants with tight skin and now they're left with wrinkles and indents and adaptations and indentations and all of these complications. Mm. And you start to realize, like, I took such a big risk at such a young age, and I didn't even know, like, that I was going to have to deal with this at the end. I didn't know that, you know, there had been complaints back in the day when I had gotten implants about the, it was 2007. I'm sorry. I said 17 mm. earlier, but it was 2007. And there had been complaints already about women feeling sick, but none in the public eye. They just kept getting shut down. And so it wasn't really a thing. I didn't really know about this. And now I'm like, what do I do? Because if I do take them out, there's potential that I could, you know, end up looking a certain way. And then I'm going to have even more vanity issues than I had before.
Yeah.
So it took me a long time to really like feel into what the right thing to do. Like I knew what the right thing to do was, but it took me a long time to get there.
It's a little bit like readying yourself also, because I imagine it would be a bit of a shock, even though you know what's happening, like you know what you're doing at that point, like by removing them, there would still be the shock because you're like, I don't know what it's going to look like then. I don't know, like, I don't know how I'm going to feel about being in my body again, like all of those things. So I imagine it takes some time to kind of brace yourself in a way for that and build up the courage for it again.
It was a lot. Seeing my friend go through it before me was very helpful. Connecting with the women in that Facebook group was just everything that I needed. Any question that I ever had, I went to that. I think that's what I love about social media, is that there is a group literally for anything out there. And so this group actually has, I think, like 140,000 women in it.
Wow.
Every single one of them with a story of how they either had breast implant illness or they had something called BIA ALCL, which is a type of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma that is caused by breast implants of all kinds. So, I mean, there's these women with all these stories. So it was just such a good community. And there was a lot of research that was already done for me. So it was a great place to go to figure out, like, you know, what are the symptoms? Who's felt these symptoms? Are they located in New York like me? Can I talk to them in person? Like, are they, and I, you know, people would talk to me on the phone. And now I do that for other people too, because it really was helpful to me to connect with like a person and hear about how their surgery went, hear about how they feel better, or hear about their experience, you know, and how, you know, they came to their point and maybe not so easily like how I was having difficulty. But it was really great to have like that community, because I think otherwise I wouldn't have been able to come to that decision so readily, because the truth of the matter was that I had vanity issues. I had ego issues. I felt, you know, a certain way. And then I really had to coach myself prior to making the decision to get ready. And it was weird because you don't remember, you know, it was 13 years that I had them, and I didn't remember what my old body was like. I was actually like rifling through pictures of like, what did I look like? Like, how was my body? Like, get ready for this. Like, and I brought them to like my plastic surgery appointments. And I was like, am I going to look like this? And it was like, it's still weird.
Yeah, I
don't know. Oh, I hope you look like you did when you were 18. Like,
30, oh my God.
I was 33 at the time, 34 at the time. He's like, I don't know. I'm not a magician. Like, he's like, I hope. There's a lot in surgery that you get nervous about, but yeah. I found an amazing surgeon. Not many women had used him yet. He's his name is Dr. Randall Feingold. He's in Long Island, New York. And I just have to say his name just because he literally is like my earth angel. He believes in breast implant illness, which was really hard to come by. As I was searching for doctors, I met with a man who told me that I would, quote unquote, be sexy with or without implants. And I was like,
it's not the point, bro. Like,
cool. And then I had this tell me, he's like, you can take them out, but I don't believe they're making you sick. And I was like, cool. So I found this doctor. He's a microsurgeon. He's amazing. And he believes in this. He actually teaches about it. He goes across the, before pandemic, he was going across the US teaching about it. And so I felt really confident. And part of what I had to do for myself, not just, I guess, like for my body, but for my own peace of mind going through all of this, is that, you know, I was small and then I put in these implants, which I have here. I put these in, and he took them out. That's a whole other thing. But so I don't even know where I was going with that. I'm so sorry. I went like on that.
No, that's okay. You were. Well, actually,
No, go ahead.
Well, when it came to starting to make this decision, because you said you're with your now husband, and I'm assuming at some point in there you're married anyway, but because a lot of your motivation was around like the perception of your body to men as well, like in the beginning, and how that felt and feeling that confidence, I'm curious about the conversation that happened at home there, and maybe like the juxtaposition of like the support you might have felt, which you wouldn't have, and what that was like for you.
So I'm actually very lucky that I married the man that I married, because I think that in the past I was with other people who were more motivated by that kind of a look, and also had vanity things. But my husband is just like the most amazing, caring man. And he's also seen me go through all of this, like, you know, health issues and all the things that I deal with physically. So when it came time to have that conversation where I was like, I think breast implant illness is a thing, and I think I might have it, and I think if I take them out, you know, I might feel better. And so we were in this really weird time, because during this, yes, I did get married, and I had this like whole plan to be a speech and language teacher for the rest of my life. And it just did not work out that way. I actually got assaulted at work. I had to leave my job. And so I just wasn't in a good place because I had lost out on my whole career. And so financially, it was just such a big decision to make, mm-hmm. because here I am not working. I'm going through a lot of legal things, trying to fight for justice for myself and get myself some sort of compensation. And this is a really stressful time. And then also, you know, there's so many other things happening and this is where we're at. And I just went to him and I was like, what can we do? And he was like, well, honestly, I have always loved you for you, but I've always been a fan of just the natural. And I've never, you know, I don't want to say these things because I don't want to offend you, but like, I'm all for it. Like, if you want to be natural, be natural. If you feel like you get there and you want to replace them, then replace them. I'm going to love you regardless, but let's do it. And I was like, well, it was like a big money talk too. It's mm-hmm. twice as much, sometimes triple as much money to take them out and
holy hell,
and fix the whole situation than it is to put them in. It's much easier to just pop, you know, some breast implants in, but when it comes time to remove them and kind of reconstruct your chest and your muscles and everything that it takes to go with it, it can add up in cost. So he was totally on board after, you know, we had like several different discussions. We knew that the insurance wasn't going to cover it up front. That was like a whole other thing because it is cosmetic. And I did have to prove that it made me sick. But yeah, that conversation actually went really well because a lot of women I've seen, you know, in these support groups, they don't have that. And sometimes things can end in divorce, I've seen, or where their family has to take care of them because their husbands don't want to take off of work. And they think their wives are crazy and that they've contrived this huge thing up and it's not really their implants. And I've seen some women go through some very hard things and come to the group for comfort and for, you know, some consoling, and my heart breaks for these women, you know, but I was very fortunate. Thank God.
Yeah. Did that help to build your confidence about your body in a different way?
Yes. After I got them out. So when I got them out, I sat down with the doctor, and in order to reconstruct my chest, I had to get a fat transfer. So I actually had to get liposuction, and then they inject the fat into your chest to kind of fill in your skin, so you don't end up with like wrinkles, indentations, and a lot of like scar, like where your scar like sticks to your chest muscle, your chest bone. And so I got all of this done and I'm like obviously freaking out, and I could take care of myself. It honestly just felt like I worked out with Arnold Schwarzenegger the day before. I was extremely sore, but I was like up and walking in Kohl's the next day, trying to find something that was just more comfortable for me to be in. But he helped me like every step of the way, including like helping to shower me. And whenever I took it off, my bra off, I cried hysterically. Because I looked mangled. I looked so crazy. Like looking back at those pictures, they're actually on Facebook. So if anyone has breast implants and they're curious and all these things, like my whole journey is inside this Facebook group. I looked like bruised up. It was horrible. And he would look at me and tell me how beautiful I was. And he would take, I had drains coming out of me. He would empty them for me. And they were like, I found myself disgusting. So I can only imagine like, here's like this gunk coming out of my wife and I'm emptying it and measuring it and writing down the numbers for her. He was just so good about it. Like he made me feel really, really good. He slept downstairs with me on the couch and constantly he took me to the store. I didn't realize I wasn't ready, but I had said yes because I wanted to be ready. He was like, let's go to the store where you can get yourself measured. I'll buy you whatever new bras you want, whatever makes you comfortable and happy. And like, once I had gotten to the store, I had like a whole breakdown because I still wasn't in a place to see myself in that light and to really make that realization that my body had gone backwards to who I was. But he really just made me feel, he still makes me feel really good, you know? So I'm grateful for that, you know?
Yeah.
I'm blessed by that.
And I imagine that there's like a healing in that process as well from like all of the body image issues and everything. Like it doesn't necessarily make them go away, but it kind of, it holds it safe for you to kind of work on it as you go through it as well.
Yeah, it really does. It just, and it's not even, it's not, I guess it's the body image thing, which is great because it's something I still sometimes deal with, especially now, like in New York, summertime is coming up and I'm just like, okay, it's going to be my second summer with my body. I bought myself new bathing suits last year. Like be ready. Like last year was harder because it was my first summer, like being out with all my old dresses and trying to fill, like I didn't throw them away, which I probably should have. And, but I put myself through the trauma of trying to try on all my old clothes. And I think that, it was a very, eye-opening exercise for me, you know, like I don't have to fill this out. Like at the beginning I was crying and I was upset because I had to buy all new clothes. And then I was like, well, now I get to buy clothes that accentuate who I am. And when I hug people, like I can feel them against me without having these like legit plastic things that are that's blocking the energy, you know? So it's still a lot, but I think that with him too, like getting him to see the physical and like the symptomatic things that can happen and having him understand like, wow, like she was right. Like, cause the doctor sent the implants to a clinic to be, you know, I guess do some lab research on them. And it came back that I had bacteria on both of my capsules. So I had this like bacteria in my body for 13 years that was just like living inside of me. And so once he saw that too, it was just like the support kind of just like, he totally understood. And then with that, it was like, we embraced the whole body thing even more because it's like, not even just an image thing. It's like a health thing. And it's the way your energy radiates and it's the way you shine. And it's just like this all around all encompassing thing. It was like, I was actually finally getting like life back into me instead of just like constantly using all this energy to figure out what was wrong, you know? And so all of that kind of together kind of helped me, I guess with him and me, like get my confidence, like back up, you know?
Yeah, definitely. So you found this amazing plastic surgeon who believed in breast implant illness. What was the process? Because you got them, it was explant surgery. It was just a little over a year ago, right?
Yeah. So it was February of 2020 and I got them taken out. It's called
just explant. Ahead of a pandemic.
Yeah. I know. Like it honestly couldn't have been better timing. It was February 6th and I like literally just slid in there, you know, before everything kind of was going crazy. So I'm really blessed on that. Because a lot of women had to really wait for like 8 to 10 months to have their surgery and with being sick and all these things. But I saw, you know, I found my surgeon, we got it done. It's explant and they also do a complete capsulectomy. So around your implant, there is a scar capsule that grows around them because your body is trying to defend itself against the implant. So it actually forms a capsule around it. So in surgery, you have to have that removed as well because any toxins or chemicals can leak onto that tissue. And so you want that removed. And then they also kind of reattach your muscle back and do like a whole chest reconstruction. And then additionally, I had a liposuction harvested from my inner thighs, because I just felt like if that were to go wrong, because that's a whole other risk. at least I can hide that. I don't love shorts. So at least I could hide that. And, you know, at least try to like make this, you know, heal in somewhat of a normal way. And I have a really good surgeon, and I feel like I look amazing. I have my confidence back, and he has a great bedside manner. He was on the phone with me every single day and held my hand through the process, which is something that a lot of women don't usually get from their, you know, their surgeons. But I really was very picky with who I was going to allow. You know, I wanted them to really know what they were doing. I wanted them to believe in what this was. And he really did. And like I said, he sent all this stuff to the lab. He found out that I had this bacteria. Furthermore, he helped me get some money back from my insurance company. He's also helping me send back one of my implants to Mentor, who is the company that makes implants here in the United States. And we're going to try to get them to do some research on it and get them my money back for them. And so a lot of people don't really like realize there's so many different things. That's just like one thing to that happened to me. But there's many different things that can happen to women that are terrifying.
And it's terrifying, like when any little thing, especially if you're used to being healthy, like if any little thing happens and you don't have an answer for it, it can be so, so frightening, you know. And I would almost call like that whole experience of even the explant like kind of traumatic for your body and for your experience, you know. And just hearing, you know, the little changes in your voice as you were telling it tells me that as well. And it's totally it just makes me want to like just be safe, you know. Like it's just it's not a small thing. It's no small thing, and it's not an easy thing either. So it's kind of amazing that you cared for yourself enough and you cared for your well-being and your life enough basically to go through it. But it would be terrifying. Like it would be so frightening. And I don't know, I guess I'm just commending you on that. Like it's just,
thank
it's,
you.
Yeah.
It was to get them. And then also it was just more terrifying to take them out, knowing like, had I known what I know now, I would have never done that to myself. I would have never put myself through that, you know? And like I had mentioned, my best friend at the time, like she was considering getting them, and she had this like amazing boyfriend that was like, no, like you're so beautiful, like don't do it. And not that my boyfriend at the time wasn't an amazing person. I mean, he wasn't a great boyfriend, he's a great person, but he was like, let's like go for it, do it.
Yeah.
And so it's really, it's, you know, the influence that you have around you and to go through not understanding what's going on with your body after getting implants. Because I would have never put that together. Yeah. I just never, the old me would have never put that together ever. And it was exhausting. And like I said, a lot of people thought I was like a Looney Tune. They thought that I had been making all of this up. I lost a lot of friends. My credibility was questioned because it's, you know, even at my job, like, how is she so sick all the time?
Yeah. You know, like, that's hard.
You know, and then to come to a place where it's like, okay, you have to realize that no matter how vain you want to be, like, you're sick. And this is not about how great you look in a bathing suit. Because this is how long are you going to get to live? You know? Or do you want to be the girl who ends up with, you know, a non-Hodgkin's lymphoma because you decided to have breast implants and you thought like, well, the plastic surgeon said I was fine, so they must be fine. They can't be the cause of it. There's still a lot of plastic surgeons out there that just do implants and push them on women. There was a whole panel not that long ago that said that women who think that they have breast implant illness suffer from mental illness.
Yeah.
Yes, they do, because they know that they have it.
And they're not being listened to, and they're being gaslit from the medical professionals that are meant to be helping them, but are just focusing on their income and the money that they get from all of these boob jobs. Like, it's just...
Yeah, you know, I still watch The Housewives, I'll admit it. I watch The Housewives of almost every franchise, and there's always like a plastic surgeon in there fixing them all up. And even post explant, I'm like, oh, you know, like, I don't want to look like that. But then there's this like sick part of me that's like, they look good.
I think like what's being normalized, right? Yeah. Like the more that's been, like, I don't really watch reality TV, but like I can, there's a reason, like, cause I'm like, oh, I don't want to be stuck in that comparison, because it's, I think that kind of thing, like, it's not to judge or shame people, cause it's their choice and it's their body.
Right.
But as far as like wider society goes, like if it's normalized, then of course you kind of go, well, like, why don't I do right. that? You know,
that's,
like,
I think that's like it's just like, it's everywhere. It's thrown in our faces. I mean, like on Instagram, I went on the other day and there's this new filter that makes you look like you've had plastic surgery. it's trending too. And it makes you just look like Bella Hadid had extra injections everywhere. You know, she's gorgeous. I'm not,
I'm not sure whatsoever. But just that kind of
that face. Very accentuated face. And that's just thrown onto us. It's literally like, this is what you would look like if you just enhanced yourself. Like it's really sad that it's just like thrown onto us like that, to where you can look anywhere and it's there. You know, I think things are just like over sexualized now. It's like Tinder swipe. I thankfully I'm not dating, but I hear these horror stories like swipe left, swipe right. Like what? Like you're swiping based off of like a couple sentences. Like that to me is just like, why as a society are we dumbing ourselves down like that? Like we're watering who we are down.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know. It's like now, thankfully, I've come to be in a different place.
Yeah. Do you think, to kind of wrap it up, because I'm curious also, do you think that you, like with all the work that you do now in coaching and energy healing, do you feel like you are there because of your journey? I mean, it's hard to know anyway, but like, just what's your instinct say?
Yeah, I mean, it is hard to know, but I think that I'm like very grateful for my spiritual journey, because I don't think that I would have come here at this point. Like, I think that it accelerated it for me. Not only because I think that, and especially, you know, on your way to becoming a teacher and a healer, you essentially work through all of your own stuff as well.
Yeah, you go through the shit. Yeah.
Go through it in order to be able to lead people through it. And I think that that really helped me. I just kept like shedding veil after veil after veil. And I finally came to see like, okay, like you might not be right there yet, but you're close enough to pull the trigger and make this decision, because the next thing you go through will teach you how beautiful you are, will teach you how complete you were the entire time.
Yeah.
And you know that you needed to go through this so that you could lead other women through this. You know, and I'm very, you know, blessed to say that I've helped a lot of women so far, just giving them information. Not, I'm never forceful about anything. I'm just here to spread awareness and educate, just on physical health and emotional and mental health, like as far as you feel, you know, body. You know,
thank you so much for such a rich conversation. I felt like I was just captivated the whole time, because I'm like, yes, and this is a real thing and everything about it. So I really, really appreciate you sharing and sharing your journey, because I know that it, especially after hearing more about it now, that it hasn't been easy too. So I'm really grateful that you are on. Where can people find you and your work?
So,
and I'll include it all in the show notes as well.
Okay, cool. So you can find me on Instagram. I'm at Mrs. Motivation. So that's MRS.motivation. You can also find me same place on Facebook. If you want to listen to my podcast, that's Mrs. Motivation Podcast on Instagram. And you can feel free to, you know, DM me or reach out to me in any facet. I'm here to answer any questions and help. If you know someone that needs help, I can help them as well. I'm just kind of here to spread love and educate and help others as much as I can.
Thank you so much.
This was like such a pleasure, honestly.
Yeah, I loved it. Thank you. My pleasure.